Hi everyone, you are now tuning in to Vonti Talks with Filmmakers Podcast. We present our final discussion with our special guest, who is a key grip in the camera and electrical department, Patrick Heffernan. We hope you enjoy part two of our discussion. Thank you for joining us today.
And we're back.
Bye, Madden.
Listen, I love this. Patrick, you have been a joy, and I'm loving to learn more about the key grip stuff and like your whole strategy of approaching it. I did want to point out something, and you might not have noticed. You always have very pivotal moments in your life when it's either $0 involved or $1 involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. We were doing a movie in Mexico called Club Dread, another Broken Lizard film. Again, it was my brother, and they brought me down. Larry Schur was the DP who did the Godzilla movie. He did the Hangover movies and all that. Yeah. And it was one of those moments where we're sitting there during prep, and we're swimming in the ocean during sunset. You know, having a beer, and I was complaining to my brother. I was like, you know, you guys are only paying me $800 flat for the entire week. I was like, I mean, I can't survive on that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm watching it as we're swimming. We're looking at the grip department, the Mexican grip department, rigging something. And he's like, you see the key grip over there? I was like, yeah. He's like, he's getting $400 flat for the entire week. I was like, oh, okay, thanks for the $800.
Yes. You know?
So, you know.
You're like, listen, it's still a negotiation. However.
Yeah. And, you know.
Those are probably not as expensive as mine back in America.
Absolutely not. But again, you have to read the room and you have to appreciate for what it is. And, you know, that gave me the opportunity to work with Larry, who went on, you know, that was one of his first films. And he went on to be very prosperous. And then they hired me on Dukes of Hazzard to be a dolly grip. And it just... Again, you never know what your next job is going to come from.
Yeah.
And so you have to be on your best behavior. And you have to, and I think for the viewers, one of the things, the pivotal thing you have to know in the film industry is you are successful if you don't show weakness or cracking.
Yeah.
The moment you lose your shit, you have failed. Because people will prey on you and whatever. It's like I did a job on Into the Wild, and I got the DP asked me to do something, and it pissed off the sound guy, and the sound guy screamed at me for 5 minutes on set in front of everybody, and I just sat there and took it because he just was angry. He was venting, and it wasn't my fault. But afterwards, as I left, everyone was like, oh, my God, I can't believe that you took that. We're so impressed. And it's like the moment you give in to the anxiety and the pressure, because there is so much anxiety and there is so much pressure in the film industry, especially when you come to shooting, when every minute costs thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And if you start delaying that, the money starts ticking up, people start freaking out, and you can't be that person. And I think that's the one bit of advice I would be is like, you got to remain calm. You've got to step back and take a look at the big picture. You know, my brother's wife is an OBGYN surgeon. And when I moved to LA, I was living with them for 6 months. I came home from a night of work and she had come home from an overnight at the hospital. I was like, oh my God, this DP yelled at me. I had to move these stands over here, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, you know, they had someone who had, you know, the fetus had already been dead for 6 weeks, and we had to remove it. And I was like, holy shit, you go first. And it was
you go first.
As there was a moment where you're just like, I'm just making TV shows and movies. Yeah. Like, I'm not brain surgery. I'm not operating on people. This is not life threatening. And so you have to make sure you don't get caught up in that whole scenario. Mm-hmm. And I've watched one of my crew members made the comment. It's like, I never get upset about film people or producers yelling at me or things going wrong. I get upset about my personal life. Like my wife is upset with me or something's wrong with my mother or whatever. that gets me upset. There's nothing on a film set that's really that important in life that's going to take you down. And I think that's another thing to be very, it's very important to realize. It's going to be okay, guys. You know, we're
it's
just making
be
a
okay.
30-minute TV show. That's actually 24 minutes. And, you know, so it's, you know, it's those are the things that you have to remember because people get really worked up.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, that is something that I do talk to about with guests, you know, like how do you mentally and physically take care of yourself and even decompress? Because again, it is, you know, the content that you're making, but it's also the hours and the amount of time that you are investing in that. So how do you step back, Patrick, once you're done?
I'll answer this in 2 points. I think the first point is you need someone in your life that's supportive of what you do and understands what you do. And if you're not in the film industry, you can't really understand. And my wife is a costume designer and she gets it. And, you know, 2 weeks before our 1 year anniversary, I get a call and I'm like, honey, I'm leaving next week to go to Hawaii for 4 months. So you need to have somebody who understands that. And in the past, I was dating a teacher and she's saying, when are you coming home? I was like, I have no idea. I have no idea when I'm coming home. I don't know. So the first step in my mental state is that my wife knows what I do, knows the time frame, knows all that's going on. And so it's easy for me to say, can't talk right now, doing day exterior, call you at the end of the day. And she gets it. And that's fine. There's no argument.
Yeah.
I think
it's like, oh my God, you hung up on me. How could you? And you're like, Sean Penn is staring at me right now.
I can't talk. Dwayne Johnson's walking on set right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think that's a very pivotal part is having somebody in your life that understands what you do and can appreciate and can support you in that. And I love her very dearly because of that. And she's always been 100% supportive. I think the other aspect is you have to try not to, and it's impossible when you're working on a movie or a TV show, is try not to bring it home as much as possible. I try to leave it in the car and whatever. But when you find your state, and I have this rule of thumb is that when you're driving home at night and you have to have a conversation with somebody that's bothering you. And if I'm having that conversation with that person that loud in my car, then I realize I have to have that conversation with that person. So if it's in my head, it's fine. But if I'm actually having the conversation out loud, it's like, okay, now it's time to actually deal with this tomorrow. So I think that knowing those strategies to do that, you know, and my mother will get upset, but you know, coming home and having a beer and a cigarette outside in my backyard with the quiet, my cats, that's great. You have to get to find your space to kind of decompress because it's a lot. I've been lucky enough for my past several jobs to be working with my brother as the director and a showrunner and my wife as the costume designer and myself as the key grip and associate producer. And I hired all my friends as crew. And so we did that for a year and a half. And so that was wonderful. So there's not as much decompression needed because you're just with all your friends. But then when you go to Atlanta and then you're working on Red Notice reshoots with Dwayne Johnson and Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot, it's a whole other anxiety. And you know, when Dwayne Johnson shows up on set, you only have a very small window of his time. Yeah. And every second is critical and people are on edge. And so you have to make sure that, you know, you're calm. I got it. It's going to take 2 minutes. I'm sorry. But you need to be able to go outside and call your wife afterwards. Like, holy shit, what the hell was that? Was ridiculous.
Yeah, what did they do, man? Yeah, but they also need to realize, like you mentioned, the other project that you were saying with your brother and your wife and all that is like a, not an indie, because I don't want to say that, but maybe a smaller budget, right? But when you're getting into stuff like Red Notice and all of that, like major blockbusters and like multi-million dollar actors that are coming in to play these roles, they have more crew.
Yeah. As well.
So you're talking a lot of people
We did, I did, when I first worked with Dwayne Johnson, it was a movie called Skyscraper.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was the reshoots, right? And so I had to have 27 reshoot shots all ready to go at any given time. So if he walked past you, oh, Dwayne, can you do this? Can you do this? So it was a super amount of money. And one of the producers came up to me and said to us specifically, once he shows up on set, if it's not ready, he's going to walk off set. And if he walks off set, it's going to take us some time to get him back on set. So everything has to be ready for him when he's on set. And so he came on set and everything was ready. And he's like, oh, I got to use the bathroom real quick. And his trailer was right outside. And he went and I calculated the amount of time he went to the bathroom, cost $120,000 for the amount of time it took Dwayne Johnson to go urinate. Right? So it's like, that is the cost of that. And I went to the producer. I was like, that's astronomical. He's like, that's very expensive. I know. But I mean, but again, that's the pressure. And then you can see the pressure on the director. It's like, I only have this guy for so little amount of time. And I have 27 shots. Okay. This shot's the most important. I can get him when he's walking out the door to get that shot. And so it's, again, the pressure is there.
Yeah.
And it's stupid pressure. It's dumb. But you have to be able to learn how to deal with that if you want to reach up to that level.
We want to make sure we clarify. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, it's not that you're difficult to deal with, right?
Guy's got so much going on in life.
But even some projects, it's like that. Like you said, you're talking like maybe $100 million projects. So even... Yeah. You going to wash your hands could cost them $50,000.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely. And
he's very limited. Yeah.
Absolutely. He makes the time. And it's funny because, and I'll tell you this story. When we were working on Skyscraper, I was sitting here dealing with a bunch of stuff. And this guy kind of approached me out of nowhere. And, you know, I'm a New York City guy. Like, I don't like people getting in my personal space.
Yeah, no,
and
yeah.
Guy got right up on my junk. And he's like, are you Pat Heffernan? I was like, yeah. I'm Pat Heffernan. I was like, what? He's like, my name is Patrick Heffernan. I was like, are you kidding me? What is your job? He's like, I'm Dwayne Johnson's private security. I was like, and I looked at him and we looked at each other and our souls like linked. It was incredible. And throughout the day, like I'd be over at my crew pointing to him and he'd be pointing his crew pointing at him. And we started talking and he's like, my wife's Asian. I was like, my wife's Asian. He's like, I was like, my email's Pat Likes Dragons. He's like, I have a dragon tattooed on my body. And I was like,
your soulmate. No.
Yeah. I was like, we should exchange Instagram accounts. He's like, I'm giving you my phone number. We're best friends now. And so now I've worked with Dwayne a couple times and like we come on set. It's like this whole thing, hey, Pat Heffernan, what's going on? Like we have this great connection. So it's really, it's quite fascinating.
And now a word from one of our sponsors. After starting my podcast, I needed to hire the pros to market the content. Are you looking for digital success? Look no further. World Boss HQ is your strategic partner. Their experts turn your vision into a digital masterpiece. From stunning websites to powerful marketing, they've got you covered. Startups or established businesses, they are your one-stop solution. Visit worldbosshq.com. That is worldbosshq.com and unleash your potential today. World Boss HQ Digital Marketing. Your online empire awaits. We are excited to bring you this world-exclusive teaser from Bad Rabbit Pictures and Movie Pods. They are presented Age of Prophecy, a sci-fi fantasy podcast done in the style of the radio dramas of yesteryear. Coming soon to all streaming platforms. Visit www.moviepods.com or www.theanookchronicles.com for all the release dates. You won't want to miss this one. Your myths were born from our history. Let's check it out.
Life. A vile, messy sequence of events before we die. All designed for something beyond us. It has to be. or else what's the point? You don't know me, but I know you. I am responsible for your triumphs and miseries. I'm Zira and Lilzor, and to truly understand your own story, you must know mine. Your myths were born from my history.
Hi there, and welcome back to Conversations with Filmmakers podcast.
So, you know, it's one of those things. And again, you know, as I talked to him, I've learned from inner, like, Dwayne Johnson is a super nice guy. Like, he's nice to everybody, but he just is so busy with everything he did because he's come up from nothing. I think it's $7, I think was the name of his production company, because that was the end.
$7 for the film.
And he has made an empire for himself, and God bless him. And he has helped out everybody. He's you know, done all this. And this is not becoming a Dwayne Johnson promo.
No. But it's more of giving them the insight. You know, you've worked on major budget films and stuff, and they need to understand that. You know, because it's somebody that might be watching this right now that's a key grip and not understanding the impact. You know, it's like if you keep saying you want to grow, right? People always want to be promoted and move up. And you're giving them that insight on, like, listen, when you go to these locations, you got to be on the top of your game.
You so do. And you also, you realize, like when these people show up on set, you know, it's like you work on these independent films and, like, there's my brother. Hey, what's going on? And those kind of things. When you work on the bigger films, these people show up on set with an entourage. And again, their time is valuable, and you have to appreciate that. And the producers don't want me talking to them. They don't want the distraction of, like,
oh my God,
like bullshitting with Ryan Reynolds and all that kind of stuff. And that's what a lot of people are like, oh my God, you know, I'm working with that. Hey, Dwayne, I love your work. You know, no one wants that on set.
No.
And that's a hard thing to teach people, because you get excited and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was trained very early on, don't engage. Because very often I will be within 3 feet of these people holding a bounce board, doing a lighting. It's just, not that they don't want to talk to you, but they have a lot of people in their lives who come up and say these kind of things. And my brother is moderately famous from his Farva world and some Super Troopers. And I see you have to engage because those are your fan bases and that kind of thing. Yeah. But when you're working, it's time to work. And so you don't want to be that asshole that's like, hey, can you give me an autograph? You know? And it's just, and the people that hire you don't want to see that as well.
No.
And so it's,
and believe me,
The
producers are always lurking. They're like,
they're always watching you. And if they talk to you, that's fine. But, you know, keep it short, you know, because
short and sweet.
Again, that expensive urination, you know, that's, it's a calculated thing, and it's palpable on set, and you can see, you know, the producers like, oh my God, this is costing so much money, and they're answering the studios, and the studios don't understand why it's taking so long, and, you know. So it's, you know, it's a really dumb workspace. It really is dumb.
But love it though.
I love it.
Patrick Heffernan loves it though.
I love it so much. I really do. And coming from a psychiatry background, I love observing people in high stress situations, because eventually you know, you let your guard down because you're just operating and you're not putting up all of your defenses and that kind of thing. And then you really get to see who people are.
Yeah.
And I like seeing, as a New Yorker, I like seeing the root of who someone is.
Yep.
And at some point in time, in 4 months of 14 hours a day, maybe 6 days a week, mm-hmm. you're going to see who somebody really is at some point in time.
Yep.
And then you know if I can trust you or what level I can trust you at. And I like to know that about people because it just makes my job a little bit easier.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. So let me ask you, though, what is your favorite genre of content to help develop?
You know, I have never really gotten into sci-fi. And I wish the closest I got into was Hotel Artemis. Mm-hmm. And I was very lucky that the DP that hired me, I got hired because, again, so here's the random thing. You never know who you're getting hired from. So I did Aloha, which was a Keanu Crow movie in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
The second AD and I became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew the AD on that. And he said, hey, this is DP who doesn't have a key grip. He's Korean. And my wife is Korean. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'd like you to meet him and see if you could hire him. And I met him. His name is Chung Hoon Chung. He did Old Boy. He did a lot of cinema.
That movie, yeah.
And I was a little bit in awe. And when I was talking to him, his English was very broken up, but he sounded just like my mother-in-law. So I was able to connect with him and understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I was like, listen, if you hire me, my mother-in-law is a great cook. I'll have her cook whatever Korean meal you want. He's like, kalbitang? I was like, kalbitang. Yeah. Short ribs. Yeah. He's like, okay. You're hired. And so I got hired by him. That was how I got hired on Hotel Artemis. And it was an amazing experience. I became very good friends with Drew Pierce, who was the director. And again, it was like Dave Bautista, Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
Who else was in it? I'm spacing it on their names.
They were like running around.
This Is Us, the guy who's in it. I mean, it was an amazing cast. But it was like, that was an intimate project. And it was a passion project for everybody. And it was a great set to work on and everyone was excited. Again, there was still that distance, you know, Jeff Goldblum was there and, mm-hmm. you know, again, you don't approach and Zach Quinto was there. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have these people who are used to working on big sets, a lot of people, but they just have this bubble around them that you don't want to burst and you just let them be their own. But it was the closest I've ever gotten to like a futuristic sci-fi thing. Like I'd really love to do like some kind of space movie or something like that. Yeah. I have a very good friend of mine who's a key grip I have a group of like five key grips across the nation that we all are friends with. And he does the Star Trek series Picard.
Oh, nice.
I was like, oh my God, I would love to do that for so long. And, you know, we know the key grip on The Mandalorian and Ahsoka and all the shows. And it's like, that's kind of what I want to do. And I was called to ask if I could do Obi-Wan Kenobi came out for mm-hmm. the show. And I was called to offer it if I was interested in a job on that, which is everything I've always wanted in my life.
Yeah.
And I just started 2 weeks in on one of my brother's projects called Tacoma FD. And they had just given me an associate producer title. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe.
Hey, bro, can the producer handle it since I'm the associate producer and I just come back with it?
Is it
you
okay?
You are dedicated to your brother.
Yeah.
Listen, Patrick Heffernan's brother, he is dedicated to you. He loves you. He adores you.
Yeah.
And he will do anything. Even if, I mean, like, who wouldn't want to be?
It was everything. And then... I really struggled. A good friend of mine, David, was the sound guy. He's like, listen, let me give you some advice in life. You're going to look at this moment and you're going to see that you chose a path down the road and you're going to realize that you chose the wrong path. You should have gone to Obi-Wan. And I was like, fuck you. He's like, I'm just fucking with you. You got to stay with your brother. Yeah, but there was that moment where I was like, oh my God.
I was about to say that guy is horrible. Yeah.
Well, David has also been with us from when our first job when I was 22. And so it's this.
Yeah, he can dig. Family. He can do all the.
He can make that dig.
Yeah.
So then later on in the season, I got called to work on reshoots for a movie called Snake Eyes, which a bigger budget thing. Mm-hmm. And I went to my brother and I was like, it's 1.5 weeks. Please, I need this. Let me go do this. And so he's like, all right, fine, go ahead. And so we went and we did, and it was wonderful. It was big budget. It was stupid. It was cranes and all that kind of thing. And it's what gets you going. And you're like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. And then you're like, hey, bro, I'm back for you. Yeah.
And that's like, hey, I'm back. What's up?
Now, an exciting message from our sponsors. When I decided to launch this podcast, I had the tools to find talent and market the show, but needed a skilled editor to bring it all to life. That's when I turned to Jacob Daly at redhawk.uk. His collaborative approach and swift revisions transformed my vision into reality. Redhawk.uk, your one-stop solution for creative content services. Reach out to them. Now a word from another of our supporting sponsors, that is Realm IQ, a new AI consultancy started by film marketing veteran Kurt Doty, who has built an international team of AI mentors to help AI change management for your business. Go to www.curtdoty.co/Realm IQ, smart people for smart adoption, creating smart worlds. Realm IQ, book your AI workshop today, adopt or perish. Hi there, and welcome back to Conversations with Filmmakers podcast.
Guys, you are listening in to Conversations with Filmmakers. We have Patrick Heffernan here. So let me ask you, is there a project that is currently out that you wish you would have been able to work on?
I will say this, and the answer is yes. I wish I could have worked on Dune. I've worked with the DP, Greg Fraser, who is incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. I've done a couple of commercials with him and a reshoot with him. And I wish my life that I could have gone and worked on those movies, not only because that we have very dear friends that live in Spain, which is kind of close to where in the world, but I just, that book to me, I've read it 20 times, I've read all the series and all that kind of thing. I would have loved to have done that, but the irony is that my brother made the comment to me. He's like, once you get out there, you're just going to start complaining about working in the desert, because that's what you do. And it is what we do. We're like, we get out there. I was like, I don't know. How is Hawaii? I've been on the beach for 3 weeks. My legs hurt and I'm tired of being in the sun. And, you know, so it's one of those things where it's like, you know, yes, you want to be challenged by that and work on those projects. But as I get older, I don't want to leave my wife. I don't want to leave my family. I like being home in my own bed. I've spent a very long time of my life traveling and living out of suitcases, and I'm kind of over it.
Yeah,
I will do it. You know, there are places that I will go that my wife will come visit.
Yes.
Honey, I'm going to Hawaii for 4 months. She's like, I'll come visit you. Honey, I'm going to Atlanta. See you when you get back. Honey, I'm to Orleans. See you when you get back.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm going to Portugal. I'm coming with you, you know, so it's you find those things.
She's like, I don't mind international travel. If you're
saying yeah, for sure. So it becomes that kind of thing. So I think, you know, I really enjoy working on the projects now that are at home, that are with my family. It is a little bit isolating in that I'm not necessarily getting myself out there. I'm not meeting new people. I do have a very good selection of DPs that I can call and tell them I'm available and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And gaffers, and you never know where you get your job.
Yeah.
But I like being at home, and I guess I'm 50 now.
Yeah.
And you know, I like seeing my wife every day. I like waking up next to my wife. And on the weekends, I like seeing my family and going swimming, going to the beach. Yeah. So I think that that's, yes, there are these projects out there that I would love to do. When I first moved to LA, I set a goal, like, by the time I've been here 6 years, I'm going to do a $150 million film. That's it. And I'll make it. I don't care so much about that anymore. You know, I'd like to be able to pay my bills. You know, I've done the experiences of those big movies, and I've seen the pressure, and I know I can do it. There's no concern. There's no anxiety about it. And, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I can execute it. But again, being home is important to me.
Yeah. And that's a good thing, though, Patrick. There's nothing wrong with that, because you're saying, you know, your mental health and all of that stuff is, and you're not driven by just the money. You're driven by your family, and then, like, maybe the love of a project, you know? So if you guys maybe have something local to LA that he doesn't have to, you know, leave for 18 months at a time, you might be able to grab Patrick. But other than that, if you're on a soundstage, sci-fi soundstage, maybe on the studio lot, you rode to that bitch during the day, and then you rode him back home at night.
Yeah. Patrick, I don't care if I'm in traffic for an hour and a half. I'll do it. but I think the other thing that I think is important, and I want to stress, is that people get caught up in this industry a lot. And I think, and my crew is very aware of it, is that family is more important than anything else. So again, this isn't brain surgery. We're not operating, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you have an issue at home, go home. Yeah. Go. I don't care if I'm shorthanded. We'll make it work out. Everyone will compensate for you. We'll cover you. We'll do whatever. But it's important not to get caught up. And a lot of people get caught up in the tsunami that is a production, especially when you're in physical production and you're shooting and you're on the set. That's not important. Your family is important. Your personal life is important. Because if you come in with that stuff in your brain and you snap and you're gonna be an idiot and no one's gonna like you, you can't do that. You can't bring as much as you can. You can't bring your set life home.
Yeah.
And you can't bring your home life to set. You have to find a way to separate those two, because it just doesn't coincide. And like I said, the reason why I love the project that I'm doing right now is I have my wife and my brother in these projects. And we are finally getting paid well for it. And it's a family base, and we can talk about it, or we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and you can relate, but you know, it's arguably, I have a family and a very deep sense of one here in LA.
Yeah.
But the thing is, not everyone has that. So, that's my spiel on family.
Well, that family you need to be recommending to come on the show. Thank you very much, Patrick.
I'm gonna try and have her talk to you at the end of this, just very briefly.
No problem at all. I was actually joking, but I would love to meet her as well, because we already spoke about that before.
We did.
You guys are listening to Conversations with Filmmakers. We are about to wrap things up, but I do have maybe two more questions for you.
I have nowhere to go.
All right. Listen, no beard or get.
You're the one who's tired. So
I am exhausted. Let me tell you guys, this has been an amazing experience creating this, because I felt like cast and crew was so overlooked in this film stuff. Like, you guys really make the magic happen. I get it. You know, we want to talk about the talent and all of that stuff. And, you know, you have the big names, but it's people like yourself that are walking on that set and solving problems in order to make some of the best content that is out there and what people are seeing on the screen, you know? So
they say.
That's enough, but kids, you know? But let me see. I wanted to ask you, did you have a mentor?
You know, I did. His name is Carter Prue.
Okay. And shout out to Carter Prue.
And he brought me up in New York City. And he was not really in the film industry, but he was in commercial work, and he's kind of a jack of all trades. He used to be a mechanic and repair Porsche engines, and then that got him a job like repairing blimps. Mm-hmm. And then he started wiring high definition trucks and all that kind of stuff. We got him in as the gaffer for Blue's Clues. And he took me under his wing, and he's too smart for his own good. And he saw something in me, and I'm not sure what it was. I mean, I'm completely not him. I'm ADHD. I can't focus. But I'm very good without hubris. I'm very good at dealing with people. And I can read the room, and I can read temperaments, and I can kind of adjust to what I'm seeing. And he's not as good as that. And so we kind of melded very well. And he taught me very early on, because he used to work in the aerospace industry. I was getting very nervous about time frames, about things when I first started. I was the best boy for him on a movie called Super Troopers. And he pulled me aside, and he's like, "Listen, you need to calm down." I was like, "But listen, I have slowed down $100 million aerospace projects. Okay?" He's like, "This is nothing. This is nothing. So you've got to learn not to stress out." And then the other thing he also taught me was neatness counts. If it looks sloppy, then people will think you're sloppy. And all of those things kind of gelled together, and he taught me how to handle people and handle power tools and handle stress. And I still talk to him to this day. And I would say that he's the one that I consider my true mentor. And he really wasn't even in the industry as much. But he taught me other trades. He taught me how to wire high definition trucks. Yeah, I mean, in the wintertime in New York City, you don't want to work outside. And so he's like, "Come with me to Jersey. I'm wiring some high-definition trucks for a month." And so you're in the underbelly of these Winnebagos, like running cables and all that kind of stuff. And so he taught me that there's more out there than just the film industry, if you need to. But even that applies to other things. You can go help the sound guy. I was like, "I know how to crimp that BNC. Let me do it for you." You know, so it's as a kid grip, knowing a lot of different, having a lot of different tasks that you can accomplish available to yourself in your mental Rolodex helps you to be better at your job.
Absolutely. I love that.
So, yeah. So
shout out to the mentor.
Carter Prue.
Huh?
Carter Prue.
Carter Prue. That's a cool name too. Prude Prue. Yep. No, so the last question then, and you guys are listening to conversations with filmmakers. We got Patrick Heffernan, who is like a key grip extraordinaire, big budget, small budget, in between budget, but just make sure y'all
$1 budget.
$1 budget, $0 budget. Yeah. And if you're going to try and holler at him, just understand he's only staying local. You'd really have to give him what?
Maybe a million. I'll travel, but it's only short term.
Yeah, short term, and then maybe really, really, really would love some sci-fi out there.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so my last question to you.
Yeah.
Would you do this all over again?
100%. I mean, without question.
I love that.
I had a very difficult childhood in academics, a very difficult experience in college. With academics, gravely so at points. And I suffered massive anxiety and massive depression. And then when I got in this film industry, it just kind of clicked. It clicked for me. Mm-hmm. It's got everything I want. It's got rapid changeover. There's no monotony to it. Every day is different. You set it for my ADHD. You set it up and then you break it down. Then you set it up and you break it down. Then you change it. And so, for my mental capacity, it is absolutely the perfect job for me. And I still to this day have anxiety dreams about college and tests and all that.
Mm-hmm.
you can ask me to rig a light over Jennifer Aniston, and there is zero anxiety about any of it. I was like, okay, so what? Can you hold this $500,000 piece of equipment? Yeah, I got it. You know, and there's no there's no anxiety there. So it's wonderful. And I love my job. And I would absolutely not change a single thing that I've done in my path to get here. Maybe not work as many nights. But again, it's what made me who I am. And with all of those things, it gives you the experience to handle. And I know I keep saying it, but it's like, this isn't rocket science. Okay. We're just making TV shows. We're making movies, for the general public. And it's not that serious. It's not that serious.
You can work hard, but not take it so serious where it's starting to affect your health and everything.
Right. Once but that's still happening, you still have to pay attention. You still,
have to pay attention. You still have to do an excellent job. It is a job overall. You're putting a project out there. But what he's saying is, don't let this destroy your life to be
within. But it's also cutthroat. It's a cutthroat industry. I have been fired, and I've been the body that people stepped over, and I have been the person stepping over the dead body to replace them.
is the one thing I can say. If it's a big project, and they are like letting somebody go, that person's coming. Another person's coming in about 2 hours.
That person has already landed. When I got fired, I got fired on a movie.
You don't have to name the movie. The word,
it doesn't matter to me. I got fired, and that person who covered me had already landed. The DP who I was associated with was also fired. And I knew the DP that they were replacing him with. And I called him. I was like, I know you're on an airplane right now. When you land, give me a call. I'll tell you what's going on over here. So it's again, it's incestuous and cutthroat. And you're never safe. I don't care who you are.
Yep.
Unless you're the brother of the director, then you're safe.
And even then, if it's between him and the studios, the brother might be going as well.
I don't know. I don't think so, because I was in a group that I got fired on another movie. My brother was on the project. And
listen, guys, he knows his job. Don't listen to all these firings like he's trash. Go.
The key grip and his department was fired from the movie. And my brother was like, oh, don't worry, you're staying. I was like, oh, okay, great.
Okay, that's all I needed to know, because I was about to lose it.
So it is a cutthroat. It's cutthroat, and it is a serious industry, and people take it seriously. And if you're viewed as a cause for stagnating or slowing down the process, you will be removed.
You know,
and there's a lot of people who are want your position. So.
A lot of people behind there. Well, Patrick Heffernan, I am so happy. Thank you so much for coming on Conversations with Filmmakers. You are just such a great person to speak with. And I say this all the time, but I'm so happy that people like yourself are coming on this type of show. You know, you have a wealth of knowledge, and you're really like breaking it down. So anybody that wants to get into Key Grip, or whatever, you know, in that kind of camera and electrical department, just understand those boys don't play, and you better be ready. Yeah. You best to be ready, or you're going to be on that flight going up while your price is going down.
Yeah. Two ships passing in the night.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much, Patrick, and I will definitely see you soon.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Bye. You've just tuned into an episode of Conversations with Filmmakers podcast. We'd like to thank our guests for joining us and sharing their knowledge. This has been a production of Vonti Pictures, hosted by me, Vonti McCray, a screenwriter and producer. We'd also like to thank Bad Rabbit Pictures for the animated content and creator of upcoming podcast Age of Prophecy, along with our sponsor, RedHawk.UK, with all episodes being edited by Jacob Daly, director, producer, and a man of many talents. Come back next week as this saga continues
for the Conversations with Filmmakers podcast.